That's certainly a powerful principle in our Christian experience when we choose to praise Him no matter what. Good times, bad times, mountains or valleys, He's always deserving of praise, isn't He? And I'm glad that we can recognize that and not just praise Him for the blessings, but also just praise Him because He's worthy. I guess that's kind of what the people who were following Jesus for the loaves and fishes were all about, just the blessings and benefits, and when things got tough, off they went. But I'm glad to be with people tonight who have made the choice that you're going to serve God no matter what. And it really is a joy to have that kind of a mindset and fellowship. It's good to see everybody in God's house tonight. And if you've been keeping up, you know that in the month of January, we have been looking at a series of lessons on resolutions. And if you picked up a handout on the way in this evening, you know that tonight's topic is I Resolve to Endure. And I think it's become a custom that we make mention, if you didn't get a handout, that our usher, I think he's all about, oh, we've got two of them tonight. Ushers, plural. I have a handout. If you want one, they'll bring it to you if you'll just lift your hand. And while you're doing that, you will notice at the top, if you have one or get one here in a moment, it does say, I resolve to endure. I was asked to teach this lesson, and I made the minor change, and I'm going to call this, I resolve to persevere. And I only mention that so you won't think I got mixed up and I'm teaching the wrong lesson, okay? So if you hear me refer to perseverance rather than endurance, you'll know what's up. We often describe our spiritual experience, at least around here at APC, and our faith-based lifestyle as apostolic. Obviously, we get that from the book of Acts, which describes the Acts of the Apostles, as well as talks about the Church of Jesus Christ established in the first century. And because of that, we often refer to different aspects of our Christian walk. We talk about apostolic prayer, apostolic evangelism, apostolic worship, apostolic giving, apostolic unity. And I think there's one other one, and I'm sure some I've not thought of, but one that fits tonight. And I think we could call this an apostolic attitude, an apostolic attitude. I'm going to read to you, and you can remain seated, just one verse of Scripture from the book of Acts and the 20th chapter and the 24th verse. This is in your handout plus on the screen. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says this, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And to give you the context, rather than read a lengthy passage, I'll just let you know that this verse finds Paul giving his final farewell address to the Ephesian church. He was never going to see that group of believers again. As you can well imagine, it was a rather emotional time because they were recognizing this, both the church and Paul for that matter. And he was giving them his final remarks. He was getting ready to leave for Jerusalem, and while he doesn't know everything that will befall him in Jerusalem, he does know from prophecies that have been shared that trouble awaits him in Jerusalem, and in particular, imprisonment. This was prophesied. But despite these predictions, Paul's letting them know he was determined to do the will of God. Even though it meant difficulty for him, even though it meant going to prison, he was in effect saying, nothing is going to move me off my course. I know it's God's will for me to go to Jerusalem. I know this is his plan for me at this time, and so even though there's trouble ahead, I'm going to persevere, do the will of God all the way to the end. And plain old perseverance, as I have called it there in your notes, are giving you a lot of synonyms: persisting, enduring, sticking with it, carrying on, continuing, seeing it through, pressing on, going the distance. Plain old perseverance brings benefits that are long-lasting and far-reaching, if for no other reason, because we just keep trying. And those of us that have lived for the Lord and just generally in life for a while, we have learned that perseverance does pay off, doesn't it? Perseverance pays off in your education, pays off in your career, pays off in your finances, especially when it comes to savings, I would think. Perseverance pays off in your marriage, your family, as well as other relationships in life. And truly, perseverance pays off in your walk with God. I know I have the blessing of addressing a group of people who have walked with the Lord for a number of years, and so this will not be anything new for you when I say that in your walk with God, you are going to have difficulties and detractors. It's just that simple. You're not going to walk the smoothest of paths. It's not going to always be that way. There'll be uphill climbs and steep descents, or to describe it another way, the road will turn rocky at times and be laden with obstacles and opposition. Or in short, living for God is not necessarily a stroll down easy street. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean there's not joy unspeakable and righteousness and peace past understanding and all of that. But it's not a stroll down easy street. We just don't meander around a paradise on earth, do we? I wish it were true, and see if you join me in this wish. I wish it were true that when we were born again of water and spirit and our lives were transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that every test was over. Every trial was gone, and we'd never again face temptation. I wish it would be that way. Wouldn't that be nice if that were the case? But hey, that's what heaven's all about, right? And in case you haven't figured it out, we ain't in heaven. And so it's not going to be that way. In the spiritually hostile environment of this world, and by that I don't mean the people around you necessarily, but just the world system, in the spiritually hostile environment of it, we're going to have problems and pressures, and here's why. We've made a choice to live for God. And this world system is not compatible with living for God. The choice that we made has made us an enemy, if you will, of this world system, and it's made us an enemy of the devil. The Bible plainly lets us know that while you're walking with God, you have an adversary who's also walking. He's seeking whom he may devour. That is, looking for the unsuspecting and unprotected prey. And also, in choosing to serve God, you declared war on your flesh. The carnal nature and its natural desires, they are at conflict with the things of God, and so there is a war going on there. Here's what the Apostle Peter said in part. He said, fleshly lusts war against the soul. So there's a struggle, there's a battle, a warfare that's going on. The Apostle Paul said something similar. He said, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and these are contrary the one to another. And so there's this conflict, there's this competition, if you will, a battle, a war that's going on because we've made the choice to live for God, and our carnal nature doesn't always want to comply or go along with that. Now, I don't mean to paint a bleak picture, and I hope nobody's feeling, oh boy, what are we in for? I'm not here to suggest that we're all alone either, because we're not. If you just think generally with your Bible knowledge, God's people have always had opposition, haven't they? I mean, just a few quick examples, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but Moses faced opposition from Pharaoh when he was sent by God to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go from Egypt. David felt opposition from King Saul because of Saul's jealousy. He actually tried to take the life of David on a couple of occasions. Elijah confronted opposition on Mount Carmel, 800 false prophets against one man. What a scene that was. Esther discovered opposition in Haman's decree. There was actually a law passed during the Persian Empire that said it would be legal to kill Jewish people on a certain day of the year. And then also Daniel endured opposition in Babylon, namely when he was put into the lion's den because of his refusal to obey the king's command. And then clearly in the New Testament, the apostles, many other believers, but the 12 apostles especially, encountered opposition from religious leaders of the day and other non-believers. But the good news is this: through God's power, you can resolve to persevere and overcome all the opposition, all the temptation that faces you in your life, if you want to. It's possible, and I'm glad that God has so designed it that his power will enable us to overcome. In the book of Romans, Paul amplifies this mindset of perseverance, or what I've called the apostolic attitude. He makes a statement in Romans chapter 8 that just oozes with attitude. Now, it is a good attitude, but it's an attitude nonetheless. I think some of us can remember growing up being told by our parents or maybe a teacher or other authority figure, now you watch your attitude, or you watch that tone of voice. And I think Paul had a little bit of an attitude, but it's okay in this instance because it's a good one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says, for this is Paul speaking, of course, writing to the Roman church. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in these verses, if you'll notice here, Paul is referring to outside forces, circumstances, situations, even spiritual powers, and he was saying none of that is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. But what I'd like to do for this theme tonight of I resolve to persevere is flip that around and look at it from the inside and think of it this way: I won't permit anything to separate me from the love of God. I know that in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, no man can pluck us from his hand. So we're safe from outside forces. We're safe from all kinds of powers that would come against us when we are in the hand of Jesus. But wouldn't you agree we've got to also possess the attitude that says, I won't allow anything to separate me from the love of God? It's true, there's no power that can bring us down in that regard, but we do have the choice of walking away, don't we? We do have the choice of turning our back, and may God help us to never do that. And so I want to shorten Paul's statement here. He says, I am persuaded that, and then you've just heard me read this list, saw it there on the screen and also in your notes. But and just for all that list that Paul gives, let's just insert the word nothing, okay? And read it this way: I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And that declaration gives us the essence of what it takes to persevere. That is what it takes. You can define that word nothing as you like. You fill in the blank, so to speak. You customize it. Let the word nothing stand for whatever you want. But that's what resolving to persevere means. It means being persuaded, having your mind made up that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. And that's what Paul was declaring, and this is that apostolic attitude that I believe we would all do well to possess in our walk with God. We've got to be convinced, don't we? We've got to have our mind made up that nothing is going to take me away from the love of God. Paul said there's no enticement, there's no allurement, there's nothing that's going to lead me off the narrow way. In so many words, what Paul was letting the Roman church know, and as us as well tonight, he said, I'm going straight ahead. Not turning to the left, not turning to the right, not turning back, and I sure enough am not going to stop, but I am going on. Nothing's going to stop me. My heart is fixed, my mind is settled, and my spirit is determined. I resolve to persevere. That's an apostolic attitude that'll take us far down the road in our experience with God. I don't know this factually, but it's just my impression, and you can think in your own mind if you agree, but it seems like not as many songs are written these days with that theme about resolving to persevere. And I'm probably wrong, and there are many that I'm just not thinking of, but anybody remember from the good old days, I'm going through? Or I am determined to hold out to the end? What about I feel like traveling on? Sometimes we may not feel like it, but we go on anyway, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. Again, I may be wrong, but it's just my impression that I don't seem to hear those kinds of songs as much as we used to. But those songs and others highlight this choice to persevere. It just makes a proclamation or gives a testimony, so to speak, that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going through. I'm determined to hold out. I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. And that's the apostolic attitude. It's what Paul said to the Ephesian church: none of these things move me. It's what he wrote to the Romans church: I am persuaded, I resolve to persevere. No turning back, no turning aside, but going straight ahead, come what may. That's the apostolic attitude. That's the resolve to persevere. And if you fall, and sometimes we do, the apostolic attitude says, get back up. If you stumble, the apostolic attitude says, steady yourself and go on. Or if you get tripped, the apostolic attitude says, get your balance and move ahead. Don't stay where you are. And oh, I pray that all of us can leave here tonight with a fresh resolve to persevere. I'm not questioning your desire to endure or persevere, but oh, that God would just sweep in this place and let us have a fresh desire when we leave these doors here in just a little bit that says, I resolve to persevere. I am going through. I am determined. I have decided to follow Jesus. And for just a little bit, for the balance of this theme tonight, I want to look at three observations that will help us with perseverance or help us to persevere. The first one may be a little bit obvious, but I think it's worth stating, and that is take one day at a time. I think that's another song somebody once wrote, right? Jesus, one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. He said this, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, let me be clear. Jesus was not saying that we should have the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, and let's just live for today and forget everything else. He's not saying that we shouldn't plan ahead. He's not saying that we shouldn't look to the future and anticipate and think what might or might not happen. But he is saying this, don't worry so much about what might happen in a week or in a year that you fail to succeed in the present. I think we can agree we pretty well got our hands full just worrying about today, don't we? I mean, it's enough just to live for God one day at a time. And so, yes, we're going to plan and look ahead and make preparations and so forth, but we've got to realize this is the plain fact. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is not certain. In reality, all we have is the present. All we have is the right now. And Jesus was saying, let that be your primary focus as you live for me day by day. Someone has said this, that the hardest of journeys is taken one step at a time. I read that several years ago, and it clearly has stayed with me, and it's just a very common sense statement, but it's the truth. The hardest of journeys, you know, if you have a difficult journey ahead of you and you focus on the end of it, you might be so discouraged you never start. But the hardest of journeys is taken one step at a time. You've got to put one foot in front of the other. And to say that another way, the longest and most triumphant Christian life is lived one day at a time. I don't know about you, but I can't live for God 10 years from now. It's just not possible, is it? But I can live for God today, and guess what? Things I do today will help ensure that I'm still living for Him 10 years from now, because I take it a day at a time and do His will and serve Him. And so if you want to know, to put it this way, how long do we work? How long do we serve? How long do we strive to please God? Perseverance answers until we're finished, period. Or exclamation point if you prefer. How many times do we try to get it right and to do things as we should? Perseverance responds until we succeed, period. Or exclamation point. You might say the motto of those who persevere is this, I will until. If you're a note taker, you might want to just scribble that in the margin. I will until. I will one day at a time until I finished. I will one day at a time until I succeed. And I think you can quickly see where that outlook applies to a whole lot of different areas of life, but particularly when it comes to doing the will of the Lord and serving Him. So perseverance is developed by taking it one day at a time. When you resolve to persevere, don't try to do everything at once. Don't try to get the whole mission accomplished in one day, but just day by day by day by day. And those days will add up. And again, I'm blessed to be speaking to people who have walked with God for a while, and you know what I'm saying is true. You just live for Him one day at a time, and those days and weeks and months and years and decades add up, and before long, you've got a long, faithful life of having walked with Jesus Christ. A second observation that I want to share with you is to realize temporary setbacks are not total knockouts. Temporary setbacks are not total knockouts. One of the sad realities of life is that we all make mistakes. We all fail. That's just the way it is. If you think back to your grade school days, you know, we might have failed a test. In some cases, we could have failed an entire subject one year. We can fail later on in life to meet expectations of family and friends. We can fail to meet obligations, maybe financial or other types of obligations. And certainly, we can fail God. We can do what's wrong and make mistakes when it comes to our relationship with God. But in those times, what we have to do is persevere and try again. Persevere and give it another shot. I've read that Thomas Edison, the famed inventor, a very prolific one, made over 900 light bulbs that did not work before he finally made one that did. He had to keep trying until he succeeded. And you can read between the lines if he had only tried 800 times or 850 times or maybe right at 900, conceivably he never would have invented the light bulb. He had to keep trying. Abraham Lincoln, who is one of our renowned leaders here in the United States of America, he lost all kinds of elections that he ran for in public office. They were on the local level, state level, alike. But he just continued running for office because of what he believed until finally he became the 16th president of the United States of America and one of our greatest presidents, as history shows us. Then look in Scripture, the Apostle Peter, this man called by Jesus Christ to follow him when he was a fisherman there on the Sea of Galilee, near the end of the ministry of Jesus, just before his crucifixion, the Apostle Peter denies knowing Jesus three different times. Now try to think of that significance. That'd be like one of us, after serving Jesus for decades, being put on the spot and asking if we know Jesus, and we said, nope, don't know anything about him. That's pretty significant. Here, Peter was outright lying. You know, we use the word deny, but he was lying. No, I don't know the man. I don't have anything to do with him. And, you know, I thought about this earlier today. You know, after the first time, maybe the second time, I could see, man, there might have been a little conflict. But you'd think by the third time, it'd be dawning on him what he was doing. And the conviction would have set in even to the point where he might have changed and then admitted that he did know him. But three different times, the Apostle Peter denied knowing Jesus Christ. But what did he do? He repented and he kept following the Lord until he got it right. And he is one of the apostles who's had a tremendous impact on the church, both from his actions and his writings still to this day. So you just have to keep trying. We're going to make mistakes. I'm not advocating it. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's life. It's because we're human. We make mistakes. We stumble. We fall. We fail to please God. But in those times, let's recognize temporary setbacks are not total knockouts. We can get up and we can go on. Micah chapter 7 verse 8 points that out. It says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall." And I'm sure you've noted over the years, it does say when, not if. "When I fall, I shall arise." That's perseverance. That's the apostolic attitude. When I fall, I shall arrive. Rise. I'm just going to keep getting up. When I fall, I'm just going to rise to my feet again and stand back up. No matter how many times you've been knocked down or pushed down or thrown down, you got to bounce back. That's the key. That's the answer. You got to bounce back. I'm going to date myself in saying this, but I don't. Some of you may remember a very primitive toy back in the 60s. I remember when I was a kid, it was an inflatable. And when you filled it with air, it was kind of slender, and at the bottom wider, and at the top more narrow. And I always saw it with the face of a clown and body of a clown painted on it. And the idea was you punch that clown on the nose, and because it was weighted at the bottom, it'd go over, but it always came back. Went over, but always came back. And I remember us as boys, we would smack that thing as hard as we could. I mean, we'd have it bouncing off the ground, but every time, didn't matter. It might even move a little bit in a horizontal position, but it was always coming back up because that's what it was designed. And maybe that's a little silly tonight, but I hope that gives you a mental picture of what we need to be like. When we make mistakes, when we get knocked down and pushed down and thrown down, we got to bounce back, church. We got to go at it again and try one more time. That's the apostolic attitude. We've got to resolve to persevere. It's just plain old perseverance. Nothing fancy about it. Quite simple, but it's just a made up mind. And Micah the prophet said this, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy." And when we do fall and get knocked down, the enemy loves to gloat over that, doesn't he? He loves it when we do stumble and make mistakes, etc. But Micah says, "When I fall, rejoice not against me, O my enemy." In other words, don't get too excited, devil, when you see me fall down. Don't throw a party too quickly. You better hold off on that celebration, because when I fall, it's just temporary. When I fall, it's just for a little while. When I make a mistake, it's just for that. It's not permanent. It's not the end. It's not over, because I am, by the grace of God, going to get back up. I am, by the grace of God, going to give it another try. I'm going to persevere until I get it right. I'm going to persist until I reach my final destination, because I shall arise. And I love this little statement. Again, I heard it, read it years ago, and it stayed with me. If you get up one more time than you fall, you'll make it. If you'll just get up one more time than you fall, you'll make it. What a mindset. Temporary setbacks are not total knockouts. And then a third observation to share with you is this. Recognize that a lack of perseverance is one of the major causes of failure. And kind of think broadly beyond the bounds of just the Christian lifestyle or Christian walk that I'm preaching about tonight. There are many reasons that people don't succeed. I know that. Many reasons that projects don't come together, say on the job or maybe a community project in the neighborhood. Many reasons that efforts come up short in all kinds of areas of life. But one of the reasons is because people give up. They just don't stay with it long enough. They don't hang in there for the long haul and stop too soon. When God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, sent Moses there as their leader to bring them out, when he had Moses and finally Pharaoh let go after that 10th plague, when Moses led them out, it was God's intention for the Israelites to make it all the way to Canaan from the very start. He had no intention for them to just go part of the way or even to almost make it and then stop. It was his intention for them to make it every step of the journey. And of course, to do that, they had to cooperate with God. And they had to persevere through that wilderness experience. And likewise, when we begin running this Christian race that's set before us, Hebrews says, God's intention is for us to make it all the way to heaven. There's not one of us here tonight that God does not want to make us to make heaven. So we've got to understand that, and that lets us realize that it's not just signing up for the race. It's not just getting into the starting position or bursting with a great amount of speed at the sound of the gun that really counts. Now, all that is necessary. You got to start or you'll never finish, right? But it's not altogether that, because finishing is what makes the difference. Starting is one thing and is absolutely necessary. You got to get started. But if you're going to complete the job, you've got to make it to the finish line. And clearly, you can come to this conclusion on your own as well. Had Israel given up before it reached Canaan, had it gone partway or almost all the way and stopped, it would not have fulfilled God's purpose, would not have enjoyed God's promise. And likewise, if we give up, I know it's very simple, but it's the truth, we're not going to make heaven. We've got to persevere. We've got to persist. We've got to go on. I know not everyone here enjoys sports, and so this illustration won't mean as much to you, but maybe it's just, I'm trying to illustrate this as many ways as I can. There is a Hall of Fame member, baseball Hall of Fame member named Hank Aaron. He holds a number of career and single season records, several awards, notable achievements, and he was placed in the Hall of Fame way back in 1982. His major league debut, I read, was April 13th, 1954. And he went to the plate in that game five times, five at-bats, and never hit the ball once. He was 0 for 5. And had he given up, had he gone back to the dugout, put the bat on the rack, if they had racks in 1954, and just walked out of the stadium and said, I'm done with baseball, had he done that, he never would have played for over 20 seasons. He never would have had 12,364 at-bats. I read that Hank Aaron struck out, imagine this, he struck out more than 99% of others during his playing days. But because he kept swinging, at the end of that 20-year career, he had 3,771 hits, and he set the career home run record that stood until the year 2007, just about 10 years ago. It was only possible because he persevered. That first game didn't look too promising, but he had a desire to play baseball, and he said, I'm going to stay with this, and he did for 20 years, and look at the tremendous impact in that realm he had. I have a friend who lives in the western part of our state, Missouri, named Clayton Porter. Some of you know him. In fact, it's been over 20 years ago now. He was a guest speaker one Sunday at our church back at the old building at 13th and Gravois, and Clayton was born without arms. And if he were here, he would have no problem with me talking about him because, as he puts it, no arms is normal for me. I don't know anything else. That's my life. And so he wouldn't mind my mentioning it. I remember attending youth camps in the Missouri district with him. We're pretty much the same age, thereabouts. And I can remember him because he didn't have arms and hands. He learned to use his legs, feet and toes is the way we would use our arms, hands, and fingers. And I can remember him on the side of that open-air tabernacle in Westphalia, Missouri, sitting on that old wooden platform with a pin between his toes signing autographs for the girls. They were lined up. They just thought that was the coolest thing, you know, and the rest of us guys are thinking, hey, what about us, you know? And I can remember Clayton when he would go to the cafeteria at mealtime. If there was nobody there to open the screen door, it didn't bother him. He just lifted up his leg, grabbed the knob with his toes, and opened up the door and walked right in. I can even remember him. I've got a mental picture that's down at the concession stand, and you're ready for this, eating a hot dog, yes, you guessed it, with his feet and toes. And all of us guys are really taking that in. But that was the way he did. And I remember in his message to us that day at our old church there, in his testimony, he related that he didn't walk until he was 4 years of age, clearly beyond what's average for most children. And as you can well imagine, he had trouble with balance without having arms. And he said, this was his testimony, he fell hundreds of times, often hit his head, sometimes required stitches as a result of falling. But he said, and I was taking notes that day, he said this, the key to my learning to walk was a willingness to get up again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He just kept getting up again and persistently pursued his goal. And I suppose it's safe to say, had he not persevered in that desire, he may never have learned to walk. Maybe he would have been pushed around in a wheelchair by family and friends all these years had he never had that desire and the willingness to persevere in achieving it. So sometimes it's just a lack of staying with it that causes us to not reach a goal or achieve something. A lack of perseverance can be one of the major causes for failure. There's a poem that's entitled Don't Quit. It's one of my favorite, written by Edgar A. Guest, and it reads this way. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he had stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse, you must not quit. Whatever the goal, whatever the prize ahead of you, and particularly when it comes to serving God, don't quit. Doesn't get much simpler than that. Harder to do, I know, than to say, but don't quit. That's the key, because a lack of perseverance is one of the major causes of failure. Jesus spoke of perseverance in this way, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. He said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. To be saved, Jesus is not insisting that we finish first. And I'm so thankful for that. It's not a competition. But he does insist that we finish. We've got to make it every step of the journey. And it's perseverance that will take us to the finish line. It's this apostolic attitude that said, none of these things move me. It's the apostolic attitude that says, I am persuaded, that's going to take us all the way to the end. In the journey of life, the march of time can wear you down if you don't have the proper perspective. I read a story, this is from Chuck Swindoll, at the end of the 19th century, so this would be the late 1800s, there was a boxer named Gentleman Jim Corbett, and he held the heavyweight championship title of the world for 5 consecutive years. And when someone asked him what the key was to holding that title for 5 consecutive years, here is how he answered. Fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black, fight one more round. When you're so tired that you wish your opponent would just crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep. Ever been there? Fight one more round. He concluded, always remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. You just go back out there and fight one more round. And that sums up the meaning of just plain old perseverance. And at times, spiritually, I think we can agree on this as well. We may be spiritually tired. We may be emotionally hurt. We may be mentally exhausted. But fight on, because that's plain old perseverance, and it will take you a long way down the road. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians that we should not be weary in well-doing. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. And may I encourage you tonight, you're doing well in fighting the good fight of faith. You're doing well to love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well when you forgive those that trespass against you. You're doing well when you serve God and fulfill His will in your life. You're doing well when you pray. You're doing well when you give, when you worship, when you fast. You're doing well when you study Scripture. You're doing well when you attend church, as you are doing tonight. And you're certainly doing well when you tell people about God's love and His desire and plan to save everybody. Paul said, don't be weary in well-doing. All of the things that you're doing, the wealth, the good things that you're accomplishing for Him, don't be weary in it, because he said further, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. What a reward, what a benefit, what a blessing awaits those who will just keep persevering, not give up, not faint, but just keep at it. There's all kinds of blessings and benefits that await in this life, I quickly add, but in the life to come, everlasting life. And in closing, the Apostle Paul captures the core of this I resolve to persevere mindset. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. In fact, I'll invite you to stand for the reading of these three verses. These are verses, if you've not already marked or flagged in your Bible in some way, you may wish to do this. He writes to the Philippian church, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that phrase, forgetting those things which are behind, I suggest maybe the first thing that comes to our minds is past failures, but I would suggest forgetting past failures and past successes, because we don't want to live on yesterday's victories, do we? He said, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to the things which are ahead, the future, and I press toward this goal. I'll say it this way. I press toward this goal of hearing Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. That was what he was aiming for. That's what we're striving for as well. And to do all of that, it calls for a resolve to persevere no matter what. And so for this final lesson of our month here in January, let's just wrap it up by asking God to help us as we've studied, resolving to put God first, resolving to pray,